John chapter 3, very familiar passage of Scripture. And you can stand, please, if you would. I know you've already stood once, but I believe the Word of God's worth it. We'll stand as we read it. Preacher Stewart mentioned this morning that they stood while they read the law. Hey, that was a long time to stand. I won't make you stand nowhere near that long, so you can be thankful for that. John 3 and verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus." Say he was a ruler of the Jews. Says the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, I want to preach for just a little while tonight. And deal with the subject. You know, there's a lot of uncertainties in our life, especially in our world right now. There are a lot of uncertain times. You know, you think about people that have worked all their life and put up money into retirement that's not going to be there, and it's going to be uncertain times. You think about, we have a president tonight, and as politically correct as I can say this, he is not a God-fearing man. He does not make God-fearing, he don't make good laws, and he's not following after what God would have him follow. And I have no problem saying that. I know the Bible says we ought to pray for those that are in power. God put them there. You know, God's put him there for right now, but he's not making the decisions God have him make, you know. Hey, God wouldn't have us pass laws that we can kill more babies. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, we got blood on our hands this evening, and God wouldn't have us pass laws that where man and man getting married. God just ain't in that. You know, the Bible says, talking about that thing of sodomy, it says over in, I believe it is in the book of Leviticus chapter 17, says the sin that made the earth vomit. I mean, that's a wicked thing. And I think, I forget who it was I heard say not too long ago from this pulpit, said that today, that men are calling good evil and evil good. Now, we living in that day, you know. But I know there's a lot of things we can't count on. But I want to preach on some things that you can count on. And by the Lord's help, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I appreciate your mercy and your grace tonight. Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I didn't get up here, Lord, to try to preach in my own power or try to impress anybody. Lord, I just got up here tonight. I want to follow you. I want to preach your word. Lord, I just want to be your servant, and I pray, God, you'd help me. And Lord, I pray you'd take these thoughts and this feeble attempt to preach, God, and just speak to some heart. Maybe someone here tonight, God, that doesn't know you. Maybe someone's here tonight, God, that's brokenhearted. God, maybe somebody here tonight, Lord, that just needs to be encouraged in some way. God, I pray you'd take something said, God, that would, Lord, speak to their heart. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do for us. We pray in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I've already said that we live in a world of uncertainty. There's a lot of things we can't count on. You know, I can tell you I'm going to do a lot of things, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you can't always depend on me. Ask my wife. Praise God, she's been wanting me to put that dishwasher in for 2 years. You can't always count on me. I got the kitchen floor and the refrigerator put in there, but I ain't got the dishwasher yet. Amen? Huh? Praise God. Hey, I'll tell you what. Man, it's just hard doing that. When you go out and you work all day long outside and you come home, that was yesterday, you know. And you go when you come home and you don't want to grab a skill saw and cut nothing up, but I guess I got to get on to it. But you can't always. Amen. I got somebody. Somebody's in the same boat I am, and I know his wife. So we ride together all the time. But you can't count on a lot of things. And I hope when people look at preachers, you know, and you can't always count. And I'm not saying to down any preachers, but you can't always count on man. Man, we're gonna let you down. Preacher Stewart, I've heard him say it. And I'm not gonna make any remarks, but I've heard preachers, you can't always count on me. And man, we're gonna let you down. You're gonna let me down. If I tried to, you know, there's some of you in here tonight, you're gonna let me, everybody. If I tried to follow everything after you, you're gonna let me down. But I tell you what, praise God, we can count on Jesus. Amen. Jesus is always he's always there. Jesus has always got the right answer at the right time for every problem that we have. Amen. And first thing we can count on, that salvation is real. This ain't no fairy tale. This ain't Mickey Mouse. This ain't Donald Duck. As much as my little boy back here probably peeking his head around the corner when I said that, this right here is real salvation. Praise God. This is a living book. I'm not preaching to you tonight out of the Quran. I'm not preaching to you out of some Catholic Bible. I'm not preaching to you out of some man's thoughts. Man didn't pin this down on his own. I'm preaching to you out of the infallible, inerrant, perfect Word of God. Jesus said, you must be born again. And there's not a person sitting under the sound of my voice. There's not a person alive right now with the 6 billion people that are alive roughly on the face of this earth. There's not a one of them that God's going to let just slip in. Amen. You must be born again. Salvation is real. Amen. The need is real. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, everybody in here tonight, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and you die without Him, you will awake in hell. And the only time that you'll ever get out is to stand before God at the great white throne judgment to be cast into the lake of fire. And I don't say that braggingly. I don't say that happily. I say that tonight with a sorrowful heart. You must be born again. Now that's some good news. Amen. You can be saved. Hey, I tell you what, there's a crowd of people tonight, and they're probably preaching in the pulpits right now. They're preaching that only a select few. You know, there's only so many that can get in. I read this evening, and I got it wrote down right here, Revelation 21:17. I always like to read certain passages of Scripture just to kind of encourage myself. Paul said he thought himself happy. And Revelation 21:17 says, and whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. If you in here tonight and you're a whosoever, if you'll take that water of life, God will give it to you. You'll never thirst again because salvation's real. You can count on it. Take it to the bank. It's real. It's gonna work out. Praise God. You know, I've heard people say, God don't always pay on Friday, but He always pays. Amen. This salvation thing's going to pay off. Praise God. We might have to go by the grave. We can't mark when Jesus is coming back. I'd love to be able to stand up here and tell you tonight that in so many years, Jesus Christ will take you. And we might even look there in a little bit. He will come and descend upon that cloud, come back and meet us in the air. I'd love to be able to tell you, but no man knows the day. Jesus could come before I get done preaching. Amen. Jesus could come. He could come at midnight. I mean, Jesus is coming back. That's a certainty. Amen. That's something you can mark out. But salvation is real. I want you to think about tonight that Philippian jailer. Praise God. He sat in there and, those jailers, they were big brutes of a man. You want to use myself as an example? You can. They're the big brute of a man. But he was inside that jail with Paul and Silas and probably some of the other disciples in there preaching and praying and singing. Man, this was dark times in their life. And they're in there singing. I can't sing, and don't expect me to try to sing. I'll just tell you probably what they're singing. Probably Amazing Grace. Probably how Great Thou Art. Probably some songs like that they were singing. And about that time, God just split that jail in two. And that jailer came to, man, he knew he was responsible to be over those people. If those people fled, he might as well go ahead and kill himself because he's a dead man walking, amen? And he was going to do that. In Acts chapter 16, verses 27 through 33, that Philippian jailer, when he comes up, Paul looked down and said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Everybody's in here. Boy, and that guy just started shaking. He walked up to Paul and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What in the world would make a big old man like that turn into a bat, just break him down? And what must I do to be saved? Because it's real. Praise God. Hey, God dangle you right out over hell and show you what you're going to be, show you where you're going, because God's got that ability. But salvation's real. And that man said, what must I do to be saved? You know what Paul told him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. We make salvation hard sometimes. You know, well, praise God, you got to come this way. You know, you got to come this way. I know January the 11th of 2000. Matter of fact, let's see. I got up that morning, have no idea if I ate any breakfast. I remember what I put on because I didn't have any church clothes. I wore a pair of corduroys, a flannel shirt, and a pair of Timberland boots. as the nicest things I had. And I came in here that morning, and Pastor Stewart, you know, everybody, you know, he preached Sunday morning. You know what he preached? Hidden sin. Man, he was sin killing. He must have been on some of his sinus medicine. He was preaching hard. And didn't necessarily preach Jesus on the cross, didn't necessarily take him off and put him in the grave and get him out of the grave and resurrection. Didn't necessarily preach that per se in his message. I'm sure he touched on it because I know my pastor, and he always somewhere going to put salvation in that message. It don't matter what he's preached on, tithing or whatever, somewhere you're going to get the gospel. And I appreciate that. Praise God. My boy's over there, and we depend on it, and I appreciate it. But I sat in here that morning, and God started dealing with my heart. Preacher's preaching on hidden sin, and God's dealing with my heart. I'm not saved. God's dealing with my heart about hidden sin because I knew what I was going to do, and God's dealing with my heart. And at the same time, man, the Holy Ghost got so real in my heart, and I just knew, hey, I didn't come in here that morning to get saved. I come in here to make my mama happy. It's all right to go to church and make your mama happy. I found that out. It's all right to go to church and make your mama happy. I didn't come in here that morning to clean up and get off drugs and alcohol and all those things. I didn't come in here for that. But you know what? God didn't care why I come in here, as long as I got here. God didn't care. God knew I was a lost sinner on my way to hell, and he knew he had real Holy Ghost salvation. And praise God, he offered it to me. All I had to do was put faith in it. Man, it worked. It's settled. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Except a man be born again. The plan's real. The need's real. And the results are real. Number two, second thing you can count on, the devil is your enemy. Amen. The devil is your enemy. I'm going to tell you, we live defeated a lot these days. We live defeated. And a lot of it's our own self-doing. Amen. We live defeated a lot. And I tell you what, in my life, in Christian life, if I live a time in my life when I'm defeated, it's when I ain't feeding myself right. It's when I'm not praying every morning like I should. It's when I'm not telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ like I should. We live defeated. That just opens doors for the devil to come in certain areas and just attack us. And I'm going to tell you, he's not playing fair. He didn't come to just, tiptoe around. Well, praise God, you know, they're following God. I'm going to leave them alone. No, sir. No, sir. That was, it's Katie bar the door. It's time to buckle down because and I'm going to tell you something, parents. I know it's a youth meeting. I'm going to tell you something, parents. He's after your children. And if he can, he'll take them. Amen. Praise God. I praise the Lord that there's power in the Lord Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if we don't guard, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, probably the most quoted verse in the Bible about our adversary. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." When God kicked Satan, Lucifer, out of heaven, he made him slither around. But over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 said he's walking around. And I'm going to tell you something. You leave your doors open tonight, he's going to walk right in it. Praise God. Hey, close the doors at your house. You know, don't let the devil just run rampant through your house. Amen? Amen? Guard your kids. Praise God. Pray with them. Teach them the word of God. I came home. We're homeschooling our children for right now. You know, and God might open doors for something else. Pretty much God might send in some money for some other things. If he don't, we'll homeschool and be fine with it. You know, amen. I'm fine with it. Come home the other day, and Tice, he's learning the Bible. Man, I come home, and he quoted me a big old long, probably, I don't know, 20-word verse out of the Bible he had learned. Man, you couldn't have made me no happier, because that's things he's going to be able to go back to. Praise God. I mean, I ain't got, you know, I could give him all the money in the world, but that ain't going to make him saved. I give him the word of God. He's the richest person alive. I'm an heir with Christ. But the devil's real. He's out to disrupt your family. He's out to disrupt my family. He's out to disrupt this church. Amen. I tell you, we need to pray for the church. And I'm not talking about the whole body of the church. I'm talking about the local. I'm talking about this church right here. Because the devil, he don't just drive up Old Furnace Road and say, you know, I'm just going to pass by Gateway Baptist Church because it's Gateway. No, sir. He pulls in the parking lot, puts a suit and tie on, yeah, and walks right through the door and sits down, yeah, and he might be here tonight. Yeah. Amen? But I tell you something, you know, as a whole, God said that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against the church. But it's going to take some prayer warriors. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. If we were a bunch of Muslims tonight, we'd find a person, you know, trying to sow discord or something. It, you know, it's live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, we'd do away with it. Praise God. But, you know, and I'm not talking about necessarily a person. Now, I don't want y'all to think I think somebody's sitting in here. But, I'm, you know, the church, we have to guard it. Now, back up, and I don't want y'all to think that. But the church, you know, our weapons, our warfare aren't carnal. We need to be more in more prayer for the church. Amen. Because the devil's trying to do all he can to tear it up. Amen. Let's move on a little bit. Number three, Brother Nathan's already touched on this, and I've already gave my little bit, and I'll just be quickly on it, but you can count on that trials are on the way. I've heard Preacher Stewart say, I've been saved almost 10 years, and I've heard him say, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or heading in a trial, and that's the truth. Some trials are just little daily things that pop up, you know, and you have to deal with, you know, and God's just trying to keep you humble. You know, something, Brother Nathan touched on it, sometimes it's self-inflicted stress. Sometimes you brought something upon yourself, and you're going to have to go through it now, you know. And but some, you know, you think about the blind man, blind Bartimaeus. You know, you think about the blind man came to Jesus. Hey, God said he did that. He made him blind for his glory. He went through that trial for God's glory. You might be going through something tonight for God's glory. I was listening to that same preacher that was preaching yesterday on radio. I don't know who it was, and I don't know who he was talking about. I do know one man that lost his grandson to a pool, but said a preacher was fixing to get up and preach camp meeting. And said it right before, I mean, song's already been sung. He's fixing to get up. They came over to him and told him that his grandson sat drowned in a pool. And he got up and preached. And, man, that's going to take grace. God allows somebody to go through something like that. And you think, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, because God wants to keep us humble. God wants us to always be looking unto him, be reaching unto him for his power. And but fourthly, and I'll hurry on. I know we two preachers tonight. I'll hurry on. But fourthly, Jesus is coming for his church. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, verses 15 through 18. Bible says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Praise God, it's for by the word of the Lord. This is true. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I tell you what, that's comforting words, church, this evening. Jesus is coming back for his church. Praise God. One day, we leaving out of here. It's all going to be over with. Praise God. Now, I said earlier in the message, I can't, you know, no man know the day nor the hour. You know, nobody can put a day on when Jesus Christ is going to come off his throne and onto that cloud and meet us in the air. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. But I tell you what, he is coming. The scoffers are going to say, you know, where's the promise of his coming? You know, people been preaching, you know, for years that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. He's coming back to get his church. He's coming back to rapture us out. It hadn't happened yet, but keep on believing. Keep on looking for Jesus because you can count on it. That Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. Amen. There are a lot of uncertainties, and I hope I've encouraged your heart a little bit. A few things else. I had a few other points, but Time-wise, I'll leave them out. But I'll tell you what, we can count on God. Amen. 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 We can count on God. You know, no matter what we're going through, no matter which way we're headed, we just keep on walking by faith with the Lord Jesus. We can count on the Lord. Let's pray tonight. Father, we appreciate your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach. Thank you, God, that we can that you chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, Lord. And I pray tonight that, Lord, you would speak to some heart. Lord, I know that probably a crowd of this size there'll be those sitting under the sound of my voice right now that don't know you. I pray, God, that you would speak to that heart. Lord, you have the power and you have the ability to send conviction. And, Lord, that's what we pray for. Pray, God, you deal with them. And Lord Jesus, I pray for the, Lord, those that are discouraged, those that are going through those dark trials. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would, Lord, put your loving arms around them. Remind them the Bible says that no man can pluck you out of your hand. And, Lord, I pray, God, we'd just be encouraged by that. And Lord, I pray, God, for the youth of this church. Lord, I appreciate every one of them. Thank you for the opportunity to stand and preach to them. God, I pray you'd guard them from the devil and the world. And, Lord, I pray, God, that knowing they're the church of tomorrow, and, God, that they'd keep on serving you and believing in you, Lord, and preaching and teaching about the Lord Jesus. And God, we're excited about it, and we appreciate your mercy tonight, Lord. Your mercy endureth forever. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.